Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to this week's English khutbah, and the topic is the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam pertaining to the upbringing of children. Alhamdulillah, all praises are for Allah, the most generous, the most exalted, who has blessed the world with the presence of children. And I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of absolute love, adoration and worship except Allah, the One, the utterly unique, having no partners in His oneness, the Master of all, the True, the One who clarifies and makes clear all things. And I bear witness that our leader, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is the slave of Allah and His Messenger. O Allah, send Your prayers, blessings and grace upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and upon his family the pure, and all his companions and whomsoever follows them in the best of ways till the last day. Amma ba'd, to continue. I advise you, slaves of Allah, and myself with an awe-filled consciousness of Allah, for verily Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةُ أَعْيُنٍ وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. And those who say, Our Lord, grant us from amongst ourselves wives and offspring that will be comfort to our eyes, and make us an example for those who are the muttaqeen, the righteous. O you who believe, indeed the blessing of children is a tremendous blessing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to those of us who are given the gift of having children as literally being gifted this gift. And this gift extends even to those who don't have children themselves, for having the company of children in your life, even if they be your nephews and nieces, is a gift in and of itself. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about this, يَهَبُوا لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثًا وَيَهَبُوا لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ الذُّكُورُ, that He gives to whom He wills the gift of female children, girls, and He gifts to whom He wills al-dhukur, male or boys. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appropriately uses the word hiba here, which is yahabu, which is where the verb yahabu comes from, because this is literally giving someone a gift. For children and their presence are a joy to the hearts of people. Any home which has a child in it finds that dynamic of the home changing. The literal energy and innocence of the children brings about this state of joy in that home. And this is why children are a cause of so much happiness in the hearts, and is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala literally calls them the adornment, the adorning beauty of this life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, المال والبنون زينة الحياة الدنيا. He says, wealth and children are an adornment of this worldly life. Zina, they are literally an adornment. Zina could mean the luster, the beauty, that which glitters, that which gives a happiness. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that unless, because children, in that Allah has said that they are indeed an adornment of this world, with every gift and with every blessing there is the simultaneous test and recognition that we are in a state of shuhud al-minna, that we are a state of seeing who is the mun'im, who is the one who's really giving that blessing, who is the one who's really providing that tremendous gift. And if we don't see that, then we can misappropriate these gifts, and in that case we'll be held accountable. And so children are actually an amana. Alongside being a blessing, they are a trust. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while alluding to the fact that they are blessings here, also says, وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتٌ خَيْرٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ ثَوَابًا وَخَيْرٌ أَمَلًا. He says that that which endures, i.e. goodly deeds and intentions, are better for you with your Lord, ultimately in terms of thawab, in terms of reward, and in terms of amala, in terms of your hope, that which you attach to. So you Children, despite the great blessings they are to be used for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's the fact that children are blessings, and also this simultaneous amana, is the reason why we have to look at how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to interact and to help in the upbringing of our children. For the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that every child is born in fitra, but it is affect the socialization or the state of their parents that can take them out of that fitra or preserve and keep them on that fitra. And this is why when we look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we see that he used to love children, and that he was entrusted with children from the other sahaba. For example, the mother of Anas ibn Malik entrusted baby, this young boy Anas, to the care of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is narrated by Anas himself. He says that he said, "I never saw anyone more compassionate than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to his own family." And in that hadith, Anas also narrates how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so compassionate to his son Ibrahim, who passed away at a very young age while he was still nursing. And one of the things Sayyidina Anas says, and Anas was in the Prophet's household for 10 years as a young boy, and the wisdom behind that is that he would go on to become one of the main instructors of the Tabi'een, those who came after, the generation that came after the Sahaba, the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is that he himself was a direct recipient or a direct person who benefited from the tarbiyah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we find that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to engage in constructive play with the children. When we say constructive play, this is not like destructive play, which is the kind of play we see today where somebody sits on a computer game that completely takes them out of their senses and inclines them to a life of laziness. But constructive play is that which stirs the imagination, that which takes one out into nature, that which brings about a type of lesson in terms of relationship dynamics. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to play with his children. He used to play with his grandchildren, Hassan and Hussein. So we find narrations that they would once climb on his shoulders and back, and they would pretend to mount him. And one of the Sahaba said, "What a great mount you have," to one of them. And the Prophet ﷺ said, "What a great raqib, what a great rider." In other words, affirming the children. We find that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would inquire into what the children are doing and when they were playing. Once the brother of Anas, his name was Abu Umair, used to play with a bird, and that bird was, they say, a bird that resembles a sparrow or a nightingale, called a nughayr. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ya Aba Umair, ma fa'ala nughayr?" He used to speak to this young child and he said, "Oh Aba Umair, what did the bird do after that bird had died?" In other words, he'd shown interest in the imaginative games of the children. This is why scholars like Imam Nawawi says how this one hadith, "Ya Aba Umair, ma fa'ala nughayr?" gives us so much instruction in how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would speak to children. He would not ignore them. He would pay attention to their needs, their emotional needs, their spiritual needs. And this is why we find that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported as instructing young boys such as Abdullah ibn Abbas, who was riding behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, "Ya ghulam, inni u'allimuka kalimat, ahfad Allah yahfadhuk." He said, "Oh boy, I will instruct you in some matters. I'll teach you some words." He said, "Be watchful of Allah and He will watch you. Preserve your rights to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and He will always be with you." In other words, teaching this state of muraqabah, and this hadith goes on. It's a beautiful hadith about if we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that nothing can ultimately benefit us except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So teaching Abdullah ibn Abbas tawheed at its highest level. Another thing the Prophet ﷺ said, while recognizing this need for play and this need for constructive engagement as well as learning, he would say that teach your children, command them and instruct them in salah, وَهُمْ أَبْنَاءُ سَبْعَ سِنِينَ, while when they reach the age of 7. And this is wisdom in it, because before 7 that discerning faculty has not formed, but there is an element of discerning faculty that comes with children between these ages, and the Prophet ﷺ is saying at that point you encourage them and habituate them to that which is good. For the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, "Al khayru 'ada," that goodness is a habit. And if children are not habituated to prayer, if they're not habituated to modesty, if they're not habituated to adab and akhlaq, good akhlaq, then they'll be habituated to its opposite. And the more they get formed in that, the more difficult it becomes to then reverse that trajectory. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also encouraged giving children healthy alternatives, encouraging them in things like horsemanship, archery, swimming, and teaching them good manners. Anas ibn Malik narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, "Ya bunay, idha dakhalta ala ahlika fasallim yakunu barakatan alayka wa ala ahli baytik." He said that when you enter, oh my little boy, when you enter upon your family, then you be the one to give the salams first. It will be a blessing for you and upon the inhabitants of your house. In a similar vein, Umar ibn Abi Salama narrates that he was another boy who was given under the care of the Prophet ﷺ, and he says that when he used to eat in these joint eating, he let his hand wander all around the dish and take from all over the place. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Oh boy, mention the name of Allah, say Bismillah, and eat with your right hand and eat that which is nearer to you." And Umar ibn Abi Salima says that since that time I've applied those instructions when eating. In other words, these simple things that point to a type of akhlaq, point to a type of manners, the Prophet ﷺ would instruct the children around him, and this is something that we need to embody as elders in the community, as parents, to not let the children get habituated to that which is other than the best of akhlaq. And this type of tarbiyah of the Prophet ﷺ was seen even in the societal organizations. He used to encourage the children to be part of the gatherings of the elders, and he used to entrust the children as soon as they would reach a relatively young or age or capable age, he would entrust them with positions of leadership. So we'd see someone like Osama ibn Zayd, who's been given a leadership position that above Sahaba who are much more older than him in rank. And this is a sign of how the Prophet ﷺ was with the youth. And we say this to remember the Prophet ﷺ, but to also note that the worth of societies, and if you want to see the status of a society, look at how it's treating, firstly its elders, but also how it's promoting and showing rahmah to its youth. And so we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the ability to take the message of the Prophet ﷺ and apply it in our own life, so that we can be good role models and also encouraging enablers for our children, so that they can have the best of tarbiyah, and so that they can take on this banner of La ilaha illallah and help fulfill the potential of those around them. We ask Allah the Almighty to bestow upon us from His vast bounty and generous kindness to make us real human beings, those devoted to Him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those who are devoutly obedient to Him, to enable us to be of service to the way of His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to be in obedience and service of those He has ordered us to be in obedience to. I say this and I ask Allah for forgiveness for me and for you, so invoke Him for forgiveness, for He is the most forgiving, the most merciful. And with this comes to an end this week's English khutbah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This khutbah has been brought to you by Idha'atul Quran, Abu Dhabi.